Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. Welcome to Day 11 of the Dog Days of Podcasting for 2017. Today's episode is a short story I wrote last October during Horror Daily. It's called Blue Teardrops. It's read by a very special friend of mine. I met him through the Klingon fleet in Star Trek timelines, and when I asked him how he wanted to be credited for this wonderful reading that he's done, he said, "You pick. See how much you know of me." Together, we settled on the nickname Stoned Blues. So that's him reading Blue Teardrops.
Jack kept his focus on the dressing room mirror as he smeared white makeup over the entirety of his face, ears, and neck included. He used black makeup to draw on the eyebrows, large inverted V-shapes halfway up his forehead, and blue color in the space underneath. More blue around his mouth, red inside the blue making his lips into a garish slash in the lower third of his face. Red dots on the apples of his cheeks, and the iconic red ball on his nose. Clown faces were supposed to be living grotesques, animated faces in the funhouse mirrors, but Jack didn't feel particularly animated this afternoon. He was exhausted from traveling on the circus train 9 months a year, stop after stop, where fewer and fewer people lined the streets to see the animals march in from the train yards to the arenas where they'd be performing. He was fatigued from doing show after show for dwindling crowds, for children who were more interested in watching videos on their smartphones than in the acrobatic and comedic feats he and his colleagues enacted every Wednesday through Sunday afternoon. Now, instead of kids daydreaming about running away to the circus to have lives full of travel and adventure, they were more likely to parrot their kale-eating, coconut-water-drinking, hipster parents. Circuses are evil. Animal acts are cruel. Acrobats are anorexic. Tightrope walkers seek unnecessary danger. And clowns? Clowns aren't happy-go-lucky jesters. They're lewd men hiding behind gross caricatures of the human face. Clowns lured misbehaving children to their doom, they said. They had sharp teeth and black souls, like that guy Tim Curry played in that old Stephen King miniseries. They ate you if you tried to run away. None of that was actually true, of course, but still, they played to fewer and fewer people in every city. And more clowns came out of the rings with blue teardrops on their cheeks. No one knew how the teardrops got there, but it happened with the younger clowns first, the rookies who were new to the circuit, eager to put their juggling, tumbling, and mime skills to use. These kids didn't come from the clown college. That itself had closed over the decades before. Not enough applicants to keep it open. But they had the bug, the drive, the need to entertain. When the crowds were thin, though, and the children screamed with fear instead of laughing at their antics, the blue teardrops appeared in the corner of their eyes. Their faces were updated in the registry, and they disappeared. Some said they were going back to college. Others found jobs as buskers making balloon animals in zoos and amusement parks. But every single one left Clown Alley, left the life. Jack hadn't come up from Clown College either, but he was no kid. At 60, he probably should be thinking about retirement, but he'd been born and raised in the circus. He was the last in a line of clowns that dated back to the first American circus. He was a headliner among clowns. His name, Jocko, was on all the posters. "Hey, boss, 5 minutes. Carlos, the lead roustabout, came into view in the mirror. "How's the crowd?" "Quiet." Carlos's tone was grim. "Concession says they'll be lucky to break even, and souvenirs are only running half the booths." "Let's see what we can do about that, shall we?" Jack pulled on his wig and hat, the last steps in the transformation into his Jocko persona, and went to join the other clowns for the opening parade.
The music began, and the ringmaster led the march out to the arena floor, circling through the three rings arranged in the center. The horses and dogs were next, and then the acrobats and aerialists, the fire eaters and sword swallowers, and all the other performers. And finally the clowns, 12 of them, tumbling and bobbing, racing into the stands, and returning to formation. Jocko stopped in front of a crying child and knelt down to be at eye level with him. He pulled at the white handkerchief in his pocket and offered it to the boy, who tugged and tugged, his tears finally turning to a smile and then laughter as scarf after scarf came out of the clown's pocket. He gave a big thumbs up to the boy and his mother and made his way around the circle, honking the tin horn in his hand, scattering colored streamers as he went. Carlos had been right. The spectators were a quiet bunch, but Jocko managed to make some real connections with a few of the children. The show went on. The lights and sounds eventually faded into nothing, and the show lights turned off, replaced by normal fluorescent bulbs high in the arena ceiling. The roustabouts were already dismantling the safety nets and trapeze rigging, loading sections of the rings into trucks that would carry them back to the train. 2 days later, just outside Cedar Springs, Jack was resting in his compartment on the train when he got the call. The tour was over budget, and ticket sales were slumping. They closed down at the end of the season, 3 months in the future. In the last few minutes before the final performance, Jocko surveyed himself in the mirror. He'd had offers from Circus Vargas and Ringling Brothers, but the life he'd loved so long was no longer holding him so tightly. His children had fled the circus decades before. His grandchildren seemed embarrassed that their granddad was a clown. It was time, he thought, to head back to Florida condo he'd finally paid off the year before, but had barely spent any time in. 5 minutes, boss, Carlos warned. How's the crowd? Sweet, the roustabout answered. Jocko smiled as he adjusted his hat. Sweet crowds are the best. This time the crying child was a girl, and she finally cracked a smile after he gave her a flower that sprayed silly string from the center. She was about the same age as his younger granddaughter, he thought, and he was about to leave her to push himself up from his knees and rejoin the fracas in the ring, but the child reached out and touched his cheek, just below the corner of his left eye. "Why so sad, clown?" she asked in her little girl voice. Jocko mimed a shrug, and then broadly, first pointing at the girl, then hugging himself, implied that he was sad because he had to leave her. In reality, he was terrified. The girl's little finger had come away with blue paint on it. They took his new photo for the registry that next morning, but Jocko never looked at it. And when the circus left Cedar Springs, the number of clowns in the alley had dwindled to 11. 6 months later, Jack hosted Christmas for his family. All of them came, but it was only Anessa, his youngest granddaughter, who climbed onto his lap and touched his cheek right below the corner of his eye. "Sad, Granddad," she said. "Why blue teardrops?" He hadn't worn clown paint since June, but somehow, when the little girl's finger came away stained blue, he wasn't surprised. Someday, he might even have an answer the child would understand.
Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartell under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Meliss, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.